Remember now, we're in chapter 5 of John's Gospel. Jesus goes to the pool at Bethesda, and he sees the man lying there, paralyzed, been there 38 years, and he tells him, get up, take up your mat, and walk. And it was a Sabbath. So the Jews are very upset and find out it's Jesus who told this man to pick up his mat and walk. I've already pointed out to you that moving a thing from place to place is not acceptable on Shabbat. And so he's commanded this man to do something. And when they challenge him, I remember I heard yesterday, our Lord says, my Father works until now, and I work. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. And then we had that beautiful description of life in the Trinity. Every time I read that, I think of that incident that St. Teresa of Avila talks about, where our Lord came to her and talked to her about life in the Trinity. Can you imagine? And she said, and this, I believe, is what they call theology. Right on. She was reading the Fathers of the Church. One of the reasons is because she couldn't read the Bible. She didn't know Latin, and you weren't allowed to read translations at that stormy time when there were all kinds of translations out and all that. And this is the 16th century, the beginning of the Reformation. But she read the Fathers of the Church and the Scriptures, because they're all there, obviously. And that's where she learned that theology is anointed discourse about the Trinity. That's theology. And she knew that. So she said, I guess this is theology. Well, this is theology, what we had yesterday, you see. I don't do anything unless I see the Father do it. You know, I've received everything from the Father. Just as the Father has life in himself, so he gave to the Son to have life in himself. Gave to the Son to have life in himself. Well, if he gave it from the Father, then he doesn't have life in himself. But he does. And that's the Trinity. And that was to prepare us to understand that the work of our redemption comes from the very heart of the Trinity. And when we look on this cross, and when we see our Lord Jesus Christ, look into his heart. And there you will see, in human dimension, the love between the Father and the Son. You see, it's a reckless love. And he takes the whole world and all its sin and lets it course through his own body and then gives it to the Father. Now today, our Lord goes on and he says, there are witnesses to me. There are people there are realities that testify on my behalf. How many did he list? Just to make sure you're all awake there. Four. The first one is John the Baptist. Right? He said, and you went to see him and you were happy, but you didn't follow his witness. You didn't. He testified to me and you didn't follow him. And then the second one is the works that the Father gave me to do. When Jesus does works, he heals this leper, this cripple. That is a work of the Father in Jesus. And it reveals who Jesus really is. That's the point. Gaze into that. Look at the compassion. Look at the power. And you will see God the Father. And then the Lord promises us, you'll do greater works yet. Well, our greater works are not more spectacular. But now that the full reality of Jesus Christ in his whole humanity has been totally transformed and divinized, the works that Jesus Christ does in us and the Father therefore in him reveal who Jesus really is, divinized in his humanity and taken the seat even in his humanity that he had from all eternity with the Father. That's why it's greater work. Every Eucharist is a greater work. It reveals this work of the Father in the Son. Isn't that marvelous? You know, what a beauty surrounds us. What power surrounds us. What love surrounds us. Okay? And then, moreover, it's the third one now, the Father himself has testified on my behalf. You never heard his voice, you've never seen his form, you don't have his word remaining in you. That's how you hear the Father. You let his word remain in you, you lay hold of it, you obey it, you treasure it. You say, Lord, I am so weak and so stupid, and yet I just want to cling to your word and do it. I don't care if it kills me. I'm going to die anyway. That's where the saints were. And so then we have this testimony of the Father. Yeah. What is it? How does the Father testify? Well, one way, of course, is through his blessed Holy Spirit working in us all the time. 24/7. The Holy Spirit is working in us, bearing witness. You remember how St. Ignatius of Antioch, on his way to martyrdom? And that the Romans are concerned about this lovely holy bishop going to get thrown out there to the beasts. And he writes, don't you try pulling any strings. Don't you try to get me out of this. This is my chance to be a disciple. And you're going to take it from me. You turn out to be my enemies, not my friends. And then he says, my love has been crucified. And I am not on fire with the love of earthly things. For my food, I desire the flesh of the Son of David. And for my drink, his blood, which is holy love. For I hear a voice, and it's like the sound of many waters. And it says, come to the Father, come to the Father, come to the Father. That's the Holy Spirit. So, we accept the testimony of human. This is 1 John chapter 5, starting with verse 9. We accept the testimony of human witnesses, but God's testimony is much greater. And this is God, of course, it's God the Father. And this is God's testimony, given as evidence for his Son. Everybody who believes in the Son of God has this testimony inside him. And anyone who will not believe God is making God out to be a liar, because he has not trusted the testimony that God has given about his Son. God is testifying, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. We say, God's probably mixed up. And we go our own way, and we rot in our sins. This is the testimony, and this is the line that will keep you thinking all day. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Anyone who has the Son has life. Anyone who does not have the Son does not have life. The testimony is, we have eternal life. We have eternal life. And then the fourth testimony. You search the Scriptures because you think you have eternal life through them. Even they testify on my behalf. But you do not wish to come to me to have life. Do you remember? Did you just read this text? Here's Moses pleading for the people who have just, God has taken them out of Egypt. He's broken the back on slavery. He's taken them out. He's brought them. And Moses goes up to get the Torah, the gift. And what do? They say, we need something a little more tangible. You know, Aaron, make us a god. So they make a golden calf and they work. Look at the ingratitude. Oh, titch, titch, titch. Aren't they awful? We do it every day. And so then Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, they have become depraved. And Moses is going to say, remember, God, they're your people. You brought them out. So Moses implored the Lord his God, Adonai his God, saying, why, O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against your people? And now he really argues with God, and don't you hear it? Can you see how pleased God is? There's somebody who understands. The Egyptians are going to say, you know, he brought him out here just to kill him. Is that what you want for a reputation, God? And God loves that. He is so proud of his Moses. Remember Abraham, Isaac, don't remember us. We are a disaster. But remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Just think how they loved you and obeyed you and trusted you. Yeah, you forgot their sins. Just look what they did. Don't you know that we pray this every day? We make our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is your beloved eternal Son. That's why you're going to hear us. And we say, I want to know I have eternal life. Just stir up something in me enough that I start to get the picture. That's Lent.